We are live. Hello, everybody. My name is Eric Stahl.
And I'm Max Schneider.
And you may not know us, but Max and I are working with the county board on a broadband project over the last year. And Max is currently a member of the county board. And tonight, Max and I got some microphones. And we thought, you know what? We talk so much to each other and we go to meetings and talk, but we don't really ever broadcast and talk about this to anybody else what we've actually been up to.
Right, right. And there's one big issue right now going on that we've been working on, which is broadband,
yeah.
but even broader is the American Rescue Plan Act.
Yeah, ARPA. Everybody's heard the word ARPA, I'm sure.
ARP. Yes.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I saw that too. It's changed down to ARP.
It's just ARP now.
They probably saved them a lot of ink and print by taking that last letter off of there.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, just a little refresher. Both Max and I live in District 2 of Tazewell County. That is just it's a swath down the middle of the county. Smaller towns, Morton, yep. Groveland, Tremont, Dillon, Elm Grove.
And Hopedale.
There we go. Yep. I can always almost get it cleanly until like the 5th
I always
or 6th.
Forget Dillon. I'm not sure why.
I love Dillon.
I do too.
I used to live in Delavan years ago, so I always pass through Dillon.
If you blink, you'll miss it. But yeah, right.
But regardless of the district we're in, we were both working for Tazewell County as a whole when we were on the broadband committee.
Right.
It was after the last election 2 years ago. I had met Dave Zimmerman after running against him, and he knew of my interest in the broadband project.
Mm-hmm.
And there was currently a committee head up by Brandon Hovey.
Mm-hmm.
And so he put me with Brandon on that. And so that really started my role into county politics. And that's how I met you, because eventually Brandon, he got a different job. And county politics is a part-time job.
It is. Yeah, it
so
is.
So a lot of people, you know, if they have a job that isn't convenient for county politics, they can't do it. So Brandon's new occupation didn't allow it to happen, so he resigned. And then that's where you stepped in. You were my new boss on the committee.
I guess so, yeah. I was appointed in March to Brandon's spot. Brandon really started, like you said, what is really the broadband committee. It was kind of a skeleton crew there to get started, but I think he saw all this federal and state money that was coming out and thought, man, we really want to keep the region competitive. We want to make sure that we get some of this money funneled into Tazewell County and do an expansion project. He knew about the need, especially in the rural parts of the county, even though he doesn't live in the county.
And I was going to say, that's the irony of the whole situation. You know, Brandon understands it, but Brandon lives in Morton, and you know, when I came on the committee and I'm talking to him and realistically, I think at the time as a citizen member of the group, there were a couple other regular county board members who were in some of those Zoom calls.
Yes.
Who I'm not calling anybody out. I just didn't feel like they understood the need. And then there was a couple citizen members who would get on those calls and they just seemed frustrated. It was very awkward, those meetings that got on.
Well, as you know, and as I know, because we were those frustrated people. I mean, that's part of how we got involved in the first place, because mm-hmm. neither of us have really quality access to broadband.
No. That another bit of irony we found out later on, Max and I live literally 3 miles apart from each other out here, and both have Tremont addresses. Both of us, I'm on Allentown Road, he's just near Allentown Road, so there's a little serendipity there for sure.
Yeah, we met because of broadband, despite not having any.
Exactly.
Which is great.
For sure. So you know, I want to do a backup a little bit. That project was huge. We spent a lot of time on it. Max and I did the whole, what I would say, dog and pony show around Tazewell County. Went into Peoria. We even went on local radio stations, Greg and Dan. We were with Tim Shelley at WCBU. We got lots of traction for a survey to get people involved with, you know, finding out their needs in the county.
We had almost 1,000 responses, which is tough to do.
Yeah.
Especially we didn't mail any out. It was all electronic.
No, you and I, we made a free web page on Google Pages, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. let's talk about a shoestring budget.
It was.
I paid $10 for the domain and, you know, nobody paid a nickel for that.
No. And I schlepped it around the local Rotary clubs. We met with them and Kathy Brown.
Yep.
Remember she got
Kathy Brown
there.
From the Peoria Economic Council at Peoria. Is that how you say it?
Peoria.
PEDC or something like that.
Peoria Greater Economic Peoria EDC.
Yeah. Anyway, and Chris Setti, Chris was watching from afar. Chris is like a rock star in Peoria for what he does. And I think Tazewell County pays him for his services as consultant. But I think he was over optimistic. I watched, you know, a meeting he had at the county board, and he praised Brandon and the team for everything that was going on. But I don't think I mean, ultimately, not a whole lot happened from that. They had Bill, and Bill, I can't remember his last name, I apologize, but the Benton Group was paid for by Tazewell County as a consultant team, a group out of Chicago that helps counties and municipalities figure out their way through the broadband and, you know, how to get these surveys going and stuff like that.
And so, he was really helpful because he had, it seemed like he had other knowledge from different communities and yes. brought in people. We had the U of I Extension involved too.
That was where Kathy first came from, I think.
Correct. And they were really helpful in bringing in the data and looking at some of these maps from the Illinois Office of Broadband. You know, I used to take that map around to those meetings and ask people, you know, if you just looked at those maps, and it's hard to describe here, but basically the amount of really good, high-quality broadband access in Tazewell County is so lacking that if you just highlighted those areas, you couldn't get around Tazewell County.
No, absolutely not. No. Well, and the horrible thing about that, though, is what qualifies as adequate internet versus inadequate, the providers kind of lie. You know,
sure.
They say that 30 megabits are available because I think 25 is the line of quality internet. So Frontier made it look like there's high quality internet all over the area, but their DSL architecture really is 1.5 megabit for almost everybody who's a customer outside of central cities and stuff like that. So those maps kind of lie, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
They weren't great.
No.
We found out that they were not great.
No, they weren't. So we met a lot of vendors.
We did.
Frontier, AT&T, T-Mobile, a lot of cellulars, but then there were a couple ground guys. I think Rocket's one that stuck out in my head. And I'm trying to remember, there was a group that was building a tower out in Green Valley. We talked to them, too. They were going to do line of sight. So we had it all, I mean, as far as getting every different kind of option available.
We learned about everything there is to know, at least locally, about the broadband issue, who the players are, who's willing to be involved. And I don't think there was really anybody who turned us down.
No.
You know, everyone was really excited about the project.
Well, because ultimately they knew that we have ARPA funds.
Correct.
Getting back to the ARPA, money's been set aside for Tazewell County. Somebody at Tazewell County applied for this money, right? Or was it just automatic?
I don't know that for sure. I wasn't on the board when that time, but I know that they had to vote to accept it.
Okay. So. Yeah. So I'm sure they voted to accept it. But ultimately, those vendors all knew that there's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stipulations for how you use the money, you know, there's a lot of criteria. But when it comes to broadband infrastructure, there's really no, holds or limits. Because the broadband is probably one of the main cores of the ARPA program.
At least one of the four, right?
Yeah,
one of the four main ones, yeah.
So as it stands right now, nothing really happened after we got done with all that. And I feel kind of bad. I think there's some ways that we should take that data and we should present it to folks. We did get survey results. We have some things that people said, and I think we should probably put that stuff together. We didn't get... maybe we should take that information and we should offer it to vendors to get us quotes. You know, it was another thing I saw some other programs are doing. This is going to be a stream of conscience, folks, because Max and I as we're doing this program, not this program, but the whole ARPA program and do the broadband committee, a lot of it is just new to us.
It really is. Yeah, it really is. In regards to the vendors, you know, like you said, they were really interested in talking with us. And part of that, it wasn't just the American Rescue Plan Act. You know, the state is started to recognize this as an issue. The state has started to put money aside and make an investment in this infrastructure. And so, they're also looking at the other counties around us. There are counties around us who have go ahead and made that pledge of, hey, we're going to invest in this infrastructure.
Yeah.
Champaign County, Knox County, Peoria County is looking at it right now. So there's some, you know, it wasn't just us.
We were
the only people, you know.
But it felt like it.
It did feel like it.
Still does. What I was trying to get to was the request for bid. One of the things I'd read that if you take the survey and you take those addresses and then you give those to a vendor and say, we want to request for bid for internet to these people. Mm-hmm. And if it's $30,000, get to a house or whatever, at least you have a number
right.
and then you start working with this stuff.
Right.
I think that might be one last, you know, logical step we can do with this. But there's also been talk about hiring another consulting group. Who knows where
definitely
we go.
Talk about doing a feasibility study.
Yeah.
That seems to be the more logical next step. Although a feasibility study, as you and I've talked about, is really worthless if we're not committed to spending some money.
Exactly.
So I don't want to spend money on a study than to just wave it in the air and say, look what we did.
Yes. You know,
here I am on a podcast. I got my study.
Yeah, I know. Well, and so the thing is, okay, so you're a realtor. I'm a service manager. And so you and I are used to, we set out on a task, and I don't think, unless you're building or making a whole new business, we don't plan for a year or two out.
Right.
We don't work that way.
Right.
You know, you're trying to sell houses now. I'm trying to fix cars now. Don't get me wrong. I'm still planning for 3 months, 6 months, 2 years out. I want to have a plan.
You want a pipeline. You want to keep that.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep that business coming. Yeah.
When a project like this, I didn't spin my wheels for 6 or 8 months. Just to see nothing happen, you know,
right.
It would certainly never do that. You would never work that hard on a project at work, you know, and then just burn the house down, right?
Well, and a lot of it goes back to, I think that, and Kathy used this phrase all the time, this learning and discovery. And it was like every meeting we had, and we met every week. I mean, we met.
Yeah, we did.
We met pretty frequently.
Every Thursday at 4 o'clock.
Every Thursday at 4 o'clock. And every week I learned a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And so while I still don't feel like we know everything, we know vastly more than we did 6 months ago. And so now that we're getting closer to some of these ARPA deadlines, we should be able to pull the trigger on something.
So in the meantime, I know you have, as this has died down a little bit, you have spent a little more time researching the ARPA program.
Right.
And so you alluded to the four main things. Could you speak a little bit to that as far as what originally the ARPA money was set aside for?
Sure. So I'll back up just a little bit and talk about the American Rescue Plan Act, because maybe you've heard of the CARES Act or the ARPA funds. And
we don't want to lose the audience. We've got to keep it fresh.
We got to keep it fresh. So back in 2021, the American Rescue Plan Act gets signed off by the president. It's $1.9 trillion in federal stimulus. $65 billion of that is set aside and sent directly to county governments. And Tazewell County received $26 million of it. And so it came with some strings attached, right? As
sure.
Uncle Sam's money typically
does. Yep.
There were four major categories where this money could be spent. And I'm in air quotes here a little bit. The first one is the public sector revenue. So, of course, when the economy gets shut down, tax receipts go down. There are some areas in the county where we lost money because we weren't able to.
So this money is supposed to backfill those situations.
Basically backfill. Yeah, exactly. And then there we had the public health and economic response. So this would be like police and fire.
Additional health department response.
Health department responses, yep. Absolutely. There was premium pay for the frontline workers, or what we called hazard pay, which is something we actually got done in Tazewell County. That was before I got on the board. The board was able to kind of come together, and as sort of their first step, they did pay out hazard pay to the frontline employees at the county. I think that was about 6 months ago or so.
That's cool.
And that was cool. Yeah, it was a really good thing. You know, those people worked really hard during the pandemic. They weren't laid off. They were interacting with the public all the time. Some of those folks probably had COVID.
And that's, I mean, some of the PPP money kind of went the same way at private businesses as well. Yeah.
And so the fourth category is water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. And that's kind of where we came in. The county doesn't have a public utility. It doesn't have a water company. It doesn't have a sewer company. It doesn't do that. And it doesn't get involved in broadband at all. Like we've talked about, Tazewell County is a lean county. Mm-hmm. We operate with the lowest tax rate of any county in Illinois. And so therefore we're a little lean on the services, right?
That's an honest to goodness figure.
That's an honest to goodness figure.
That is, mm-hmm. That's strong. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
It often doesn't feel like that as a taxpayer, right? You tell that to people and they're like, I don't really believe that. But it is true. And so, you know, where do we go from here? We've got these four basic areas. We've kind of hit one of them. And so now what we've been working on is we're coming up against a deadline. We've got to have the money appropriated by 2024, and it's got to be spent by 2026. And so how are we going to sieve through what's left to do and find the best bang for our buck?
Mm-hmm. That's the $1 million question, or the $26 million question.
It's a $26 million question. Yeah. And what made it even harder was that they kind of changed the rules.
Well, so in my impression of this, and so you correct me if I'm wrong, when counties across the state, not just Tazewell County, couldn't figure out how to spend the money or how to do anything with it, or maybe they didn't spend it fast enough, the federal government changed it and said, well, you know what, maybe we're too restrictive. We're going to loosen this up.
It would certainly appear that way. Yeah. So we elected to just set aside the $10 million of our 26 as basically general purpose funds. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's supposed to be for, you know, general, I think it's general government services or something mm-hmm. like that. And so you can be very flexible. There's still reporting requirements, things like that. If you spend over $1 million, you got to kind of justify why you're doing that. But that other $16 million kind of has to fall into those three categories that we talked about.
Okay. So as it sits right now, though, I don't think we've spent a nickel. Maybe there's a little. They've paid a little bit for some payroll stuff, obviously.
Right, right.
But to date, what are we, a couple $1 million spent?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that leaves a giant chunk still hanging around out there. And so Max, I've been talking a lot. So Max, obviously, like I said, is a current member of the county board, and he's in a lot of meetings. I don't go to as many meetings as a citizen member of a committee. And like I said, as a committee hasn't really done a whole lot. I haven't been there for a couple months anyway. So, but now, I mean, we're getting to the point where we're gonna have to start making some decisions with this money.
Right. Yeah. And so there've been a couple ideas thrown around, and all of these are out there in the public. Again, I am not an ARPA expert by any means.
That's the other thing too. Maybe we should, I'll full disclaimer, asterisk, whatever it takes. Anybody from the county board listening to this goes, those guys don't know what they're talking about. You're probably right. We probably messed something up here or there. I don't think majorly though. I think we got the gist of everything, and I would be happy to have anybody else, you know, come in and talk about this stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's important about where you get your facts from. I'm drawing most of my stuff from the information available from the National Association of Counties, or NACO. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that's a pretty unbiased organization that's just providing us with an overview of really what the rules are for ARPA and what you can and can't do with it.
Well, and realistically, okay, so in my business, when the car dealerships were getting the PPP money, mm-hmm. we relied on National Automotive Dealer Association to help us guide through that and to use this money. And NADA, you know, they deal with this type of stuff all over the country, and whether it's legislation, whether it's grant money, stuff like this. And the same thing with NACO. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't believe the Tazewell County Board, being, like we said, a lot of part-time employees and a couple full-time, have the capability of dealing, you know, when you're handed this much money, to know what to do with it. So you're going to have to rely on organizations like this to help you do that, right?
Yeah, and I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
I don't think so at all.
You know, we talked about the kind of the makeup of the county board, and we have a lot of really, really good folks at the county board and at the county elected officials and administrative staff alike. But it's made up of folks who are either, you know, maybe they're retired, maybe they run their own businesses, mm-hmm. because you have to have the time, right? You got to have the time in your schedule to go to meetings at 1:30 in the afternoon, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So where do we go from here?
Well, so there,
because I don't know how deep you want to go into this, and
I don't really want to go.
Sorry for the uncomfortable pause. I'm not gonna lay it down on Tazewell County. That, you know, what's going on.
No, I think what's out there, and what I think we should definitely talk about is a few of the options that we're looking at right now. Again, we had a big meeting there about a month or two ago.
My laptop died, so I'll go to the small screen now.
Perfect. We had a big meeting about a month ago. It was a public meeting. There were donuts there, or bagels or something. Oh. It was pretty good. You missed that one.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you missed that one. But to talk really about, okay, what do we really want to do? Get everybody in a room. Let's kind of hash this out. Get some public input, which we got a lot of. We got some input from some elected officials. And really, it kind of comes down to three potential projects. Mm-hmm. And these are so early on that we really don't have any hard and fast details or numbers at this point, but there are three main proposals. And some of you listening may have even seen this on the news. There is a thought out there that we should probably replace the Tazewell County Courthouse. It's an old courthouse. It doesn't have the space and the security and the maybe the handicap accessibility that we may need down the road. Somebody monitors those. That's what I keep being told. Someone monitors how well your courthouse is doing. I mean, maybe somebody from the state. I
imagine there's an audit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. I get audited for where I store my tires by the state EPA. So I'm sure somebody walks through and, you know, keeps track of this stuff.
Yeah. And so there's a thought out there that, well, you know, we could really replace the courthouse or significantly replace a lot of what's going on in there at a relatively low cost now instead of 25, 30 years from now. So that's one option. The other option is to possibly add an addition on to the current Justice Center, mm-hmm. Where the jail is there, and move some courtrooms into there and some administrative rooms. That would give us a little bit more breathing room in mm-hmm. the courthouse, I'm told. And I'm kind of leaning on other people for this information, right? Other folks sure. who know.
Well, and you're going to have more meetings on this anyway,
right?
If we have people that say, you know what, you need to record another one of these, mm-hmm. we'll probably talk about that on a future episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so the third option, and this one I like, and I've heard a lot about, is possibly a new health department facility in a downtown at the Pekin campus. There, yeah. We've got some real estate that we own down there where we could pretty easily put up a new health department facility. That'd be something that would be on a bus route.
Can I get snarky about parking?
Sure.
No.
Sure.
There's no lack of it, so no, we'll be fine. This could probably be a subject for another show, obviously, because
right.
We've talked a little bit about that off microphone. You know, I have my mm-hmm. my feelings on some of mm-hmm. this, and actually on my own personal Facebook page, I made some of those known. But I'm a realist too. You know, I understand mm-hmm. that infrastructure and old buildings need fixed or replaced or whatever. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, we've already spent lots of money on some buildings recently, so I hate to see those efforts lost.
I would agree. You know, it's one of those things. I haven't really solidified where I'm at on all of these things. I really like to hold off until I hear. Until I hear numbers, here I hear feasibility, that yeah. sort of thing. Once we get all of that hard data in front of me, it'd be easier to make a decision, I guess. And I've been very open about this with other folks. I sort of work on three basic principles. You know, I don't want to take out any new debt.
No.
I don't want to go ask the taxpayers for any money during what might be a recession coming up. I don't want to go ask them for more money to build a building or anything like that. I don't really want to spend down our general fund. You know, Tazewell County is actually very well off financially. This is the kind of the ironic part about ARPA is that, you know, we are very conservative. We do take care of our books. We do have money to pay our staff. We don't lay off people frequently, you know, and we kind of don't know what to do with the ARPA funds. I mean, yeah. we're doing good, and the last part of that is I'm more concerned about quality of the project over quantity, and that goes back to our broadband. That goes back to really any of the other potential ways we could spend this money, mm-hmm. right? I'm not overly concerned with spending all of it. I'm more concerned with, okay, did we help the taxpayers and in the spirit of ARPA, is this project in the spirit of ARPA?
Yeah. Well, I guess my biggest thing, my takeaway lately with ARPA money is I didn't realize that all the different ways we could spend it. And you mm-hmm. can give to nonprofits. You can give to community organizations. Yeah. You can do a lot of things with that money.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like we've ever thought about that. So yeah. to your point about not spending at all, even if we spent 50% of it, but we spent a worthwhile project, so went out into the county to help, you know, with health department projects or to help with infrastructure. I mean, to me, that's what the money was meant for. And as I stand out in a town like Delavan or Green Valley, I look back towards, you know, downtown Pekin, I just don't see that the citizens out there who are struggling with bad internet, or maybe there's a problem with the roads, you know, county road, or just any number of infrastructure issues they may feel are important. I don't think their voice is heard at all by putting a new courthouse in, you know, and then charging more tax money in the future. I don't see it.
You know, there are a lot of varying opinions out there about what we should and shouldn't do. And so
I think we promised not to get into that, but we're doing it anyway.
Well, no, it's a valid point. And you are not alone. Hmm. You're not alone. There are, but when you have, like we talked about, when you have a once in a century sort of investment in county government like this, there's a lot of good ideas, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of good ideas. So,
well, and I think you and I mean, we were kind of arguing over dental stuff here a while ago. I mean, mm-hmm. they were talking about making a building, and you were like, I found a building. And I was like, you know what? We need to take care of the teeth. You know,
we do need to take care of the teeth.
And right. so, right. I mean, you're right about the opinions. And the problem is you get a room. And I made the joke this morning when I was talking about the 45 members of the county board, you know, but once you get a group of 20 some people together mm-hmm. and then you try and talk about this stuff, it's not an echo chamber by any means. I just think people are afraid to even really to get into a deep conversation. The meetings are already kind of tedious, I think. And the subcommittees, I think they think all the work is done there. And then once it's brought to the county board meeting once a month, it's settled, right?
Well, and that is kind of how it goes in a way, at least from my very, very limited experience. I have not been on very long, like I said, but I just don't think, I think it's very difficult to grasp sort of what we're doing here. I mean, this is really a huge opportunity to for Tazewell County to make a really big impact. And I know I'm fired up about it. I know you're fired up about it. And I think that there are other folks who are. We just got to get all on the same page.
Is there an ARPA committee right now?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. You're not on it, are you?
I am not.
No. Okay. It's basically the executive committee is the ARPA committee?
I don't want to say because I'm not really sure.
I thought that was how it was stacked, but maybe not.
You know, when you get into your, when you're on the board, when you're on the county board fall.
As I am running with Max, it's, you can choose both Max and I.
You can. Yeah. And if you only want to choose us, you can.
Actually, that'd be probably better in some ways. No, not for the, I'm just saying, as the Max, see, this is the fun part. I'm running as a Libertarian candidate. Max running as Republican. We're not even in the same party.
But mortal enemies.
But, yeah, mortal enemies for sure. But we're working together. And I think, you know, this says a lot, first off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I do hope I get elected. I've certainly taken the harder row to hoe here by not joining the commanding party of the county. But if we can work together on this, I mean, I think that's just a testament to how politics should be run.
I think so. And having dedicated folks who are fired up to make a difference in Tazewell County, you know, I've often said it feels like the guard is changing a little bit. It feels like there are more younger people getting into politics or younger spirited folks like yourself who are getting into politics now, which is really great.
And, oh, wow. That was man, I took it. I smiled and I realized he just smacked me.
It was smooth.
It was smooth.
Yeah. Not Daryl Scott's.
Are you a politician? No. You got me.
So no, I'm looking forward to it. This is a really, really cool opportunity. I mean, I don't think there has not been anything like this. I don't think that has come to the county board, maybe ever. This transformational,
and
this exciting.
The confusion probably.
And that's the confusion. Yeah. I mean, I think everybody on the board takes their role very seriously. They represent a wide range of folks. I mean, think about the differences between East Peoria and Dillon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Talk about a vast difference of society. You wouldn't even think they're in the same country.
Exactly. Yeah. And so your constituents have different interests. They have different issues. Some of them struggle with broadband. Some have 1 gig and are going to have 10 gig speed by the end of the year. And so where do you fall and where do you put historic levels of money in?
Yeah.
You know, where do you do that?
And yeah, so, no, you're right. District 1 in Tazewell County is a whole different beast.
Absolutely.
Than 2 and 3, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No. And 2, I think, is kind of unique because we don't really have a big city in District 2.
No, Morton is the big city.
Morton is the big city.
Yeah.
Right.
And you got
right.
the edge of Pekin, and right. that's about it. Yeah.
And that's it. And then there's everybody else. And so, I think you're kind of running in a tough district. It's a district that's got a lot of names.
You think?
A lot of names in that. I think so. Yeah. A little bit. A lot of Morton names.
You know, I got about 100 signs I'm going to throw around. So, you know.
Oh, wow. Some inside baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody else who's running as Republican, I would guess you're going to have to spend $2,000 or $3,000 at the amount of signs I'm going to have. So have at it.
They'll be everywhere. Well, when you ran for board chairman, you had quite a few out there.
Yeah. I'm reusing those. But I'm going to go to Sticker Mule and I'm going to slap District 2 over county board chair. It'll be perfect. I'm going to spend another $100 in stickers.
And I'm going to go around and rip them off.
Oh, don't do that. Right. Then I'll get sued. Yeah. No, I have to save them when I run against you for county board chair someday.
No.
Okay, all right. Well, that's we're almost 30 minutes here. I think we got what we wanted to do here right now. Is there anything else? Did we miss anything, or do you want to go any further with it?
I don't think we really missed anything. I think we covered just about all of it. You know, the counties... The county needs to decide what role we want to play. Like you mentioned, you know, whether it's a courthouse or a health department building or an addition to the Justice Center, or is it giving it back out to the communities, doing small business loans, doing doing more.
I would like to see something like that happening at least right now. I just don't feel like anything's happening, you know. And I think even small amounts, even if it was $1 million was set aside to just start helping small nonprofits, stuff like that. Mm. think of what that could have already been doing for us.
Well, I think you will have a different perspective when you get there.
Thanks. Thanks for that optimism.
I'm a pretty optimistic guy, right, I think.
Well, I mean, we wouldn't run unless we cared.
I truly believe that.
I don't think that if you run for office and you're not passionate about it, I think you'd give up pretty fast once you just sign your name to get on the ballot.
Yeah, it would be really discouraging to run and not care about it or not want to make a difference or not even necessarily make a difference. You know, we talked about the fiscal responsibility of the county has been pretty top notch for the last 50 years or so, and just continuing that legacy of good money management and making sure that we're doing the right things for the taxpayers. And so it's kind of cool to be a part of that.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job. And good luck in the upcoming election.
Same to you.
But we'll talk long before that.
I think so.
Yeah, and everybody, please, I'm going to post this on the Connect Tazewell website just as a file download, which is kind of an ugly way to do it. I would like to maybe build a blog page. I have countless podcast blogs. This is all I do. This is the stuff I eat, sleep, and dream.
Eric Stahl's life is totally online.
Oh, yeah. I broadcast. I'm a content creator.
You are. Yeah. A juggernaut, really.
No, maybe for Tazewell County. But anyway, I'd like to put that out there just so people have the download. But I would eventually like to get this on iTunes and Spotify. It just takes a little bit of time to do that. The upcoming meeting is coming up next week. So, you know, we'll have this file up. Maybe 10 people will hear it before that meeting.
But, yes.
But I'll bet you more people hear it than that. Because once we start spreading this on our collective pages, on our socials, and Twitter and Instagram and everything else. I think maybe we'll get a few years on it.
Yeah, and I'd love to see how it goes, and then maybe if we can do a follow-up, you know, I don't know if there's going to be anything big at this next monthly meeting, but you never know. I would encourage anybody who's listening, if there are any, to come out to the board meeting. It's not really that well attended. I don't feel like the public,
you know, when the windmill stuff was going on, yes, the room was packed.
Do you want to talk about windmills for a second?
You know, my next video is going to be about the windmills.
Oh, so I don't want to steal any content.
No, deal was, I had a no windmill sign in my yard, and Max kind of gave me some grief for that. It's like, you're against windmills? I'm like, okay, I'm not against windmills. Here I am. I drive a Prius. I'm putting solar on my barn, and I have a no windmill sign out in front of my house. It does seem
a little odd. And to come to find out that the no wind turbines folks, the folks mm-hmm. putting those out, we're not really anti-windmill either.
No, I don't think anybody. I'm not anti-green energy. My biggest concern with the windmills, of course, you hear all this stuff about killing animals and it makes people psychotic because of the sound stuff. Like, I really have no interest in any of that mm-hmm. stuff because I think a lot of that's just hearsay. But I have a real problem when you have a landowner owns 600-700 acres around residential homes out in the country, and they can park a windmill within, 600 yards of your house or something like that? I can't remember the number.
I can't remember the number either. I know that it's being rewritten. So there's the moratorium that we passed last month that we're going to take some time to think about that.
But ultimately, even so, even if they have the moratorium where the height is only so high and they can only be so close to a residential house, ultimately, if I have a house that's surrounded by somebody's farm, I never had any control of that situation, that guy plopped a windmill and now he has degraded the value of my home forever. Mm-hmm. And there's no compensation for the other person. I really do believe if you're an eyesight, I mean, an pertinent eyesight of a windmill, mm-hmm. and it wasn't on your farm, you should get some kind of restitution on mm-hmm. the deal. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, it's complex. It really is. There's, like you said, there's really the two sides, the folks who are really concerned about the health benefits and certainly the environmental aspects of it. And why are we doing this? Is it really that green? Are we really getting our bang for our buck?
And the other thing about it, like all the energy that comes out of the wind farm down by Hopedale right now, it goes to Indianapolis or something. It's bought there.
Okay.
Which is fine, but this is just like a landfill to me. You know, landfills, the giant landfill that's outside of Pontiac.
Okay.
You know, Chicago doesn't want that garbage in Chicago, so where do? They ship it to Livingston County. And it's the same thing here. Indianapolis doesn't want to have a bunch of nasty wind-producing turbines in their backyard, so what do they do? We'll put them in central Illinois because they'll take the money because, you know. And that it's gross to me in that way that we're being exploited. It's almost like being a third-world country. You know, and being strip mined.
It's very interesting where these windmill farms are and where they aren't.
Yes.
Yes. I thought that was very, very
interesting. And I'm not, I know it's never going to be pretty. you know,
no,
there are places you go out west, you go out in the mountains and outside Barstow, California, if you're out in the desert, mm-hmm. you'll see the windmill farms up in the mountains, but there's no houses there. There's nothing right. there. And this right. is a set aside area with like solar panels and all kinds of wind turbines.
This is a very interesting position coming from a libertarian. And I've told you that before. I've yeah. always thought that your position on windmills was a little bit.
Well, you know, I've always said I'm not a great libertarian. I'd probably be a terrible Republican and I definitely wouldn't be a very good Democrat. So,
working on federally subsidized broadband is, yeah. is not yeah. a great no, way to start.
That's
your
true. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Well, you're Republican, same thing. And that's what right. I said about the ARPA money. I mean, the ARPA money is the biggest handout in government history.
Yes.
And here are the fiscally conservative Republicans taking that money. And to me, I'm like, well, that, to get back to the keyword of the night, ironic, you know, that's absolutely what it is.
It's a lot of opinions out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we can point, you know, this friendly banter that will turn into a bloodbath after we turn off the microphone. No, just kidding. Max and I'm telling you, it's been a great time getting to know you and to do everything we've been doing. So if you couldn't ask for a healthier working relationship, I think so.
Well, I am so glad that we got to sit down and do this. You know, I want to say one more thing before we get off, and that is, about 2 months ago, I think I called you just to kind of check in. You know, you've been going through a lot lately. Mm-hmm. And, you were kind of bumming that day, mm-hmm. you know, and that's totally understandable. And you said to me something that kind of struck me. It was, you said, you know, I'm involved in all these things. You know, the podcast going on. I think you're involved in Boy Scouts. Is that true?
Yeah. I'm doing a couple border reviews on Monday night.
Yeah. Yep. And so, you said, you know, all that's just kind of stopped. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only thing, you know, when the chips are down, it's really interesting that really all that matters is your family, your job, mm-hmm. your house, you know, and as a young dad, that really struck me, and I haven't really forgotten about that yet. I'm still mulling it over a little bit, but
I hope I'm a life inspiration for you. Maybe not. Maybe I don't. I don't think
that. I'm just glad that you're here.
Yeah.
And so when okay. I was like, man, I kind of thought, well, maybe Eric will, maybe, you know, who knows what will happen.
And
you know?
and just to not hold any mystery about it, my daughter was diagnosed with cancer in May, and I was ready to burn down the world. I think I said that a couple times mm-hmm. now, but literally that was it. So if it meant giving up county government, that meant giving up Scouts, Sports Car Club of America, every board and every committee I'm on, I was like, don't care.
Don't care.
As a matter of fact, I sold my sports car a couple weeks ago because mm-hmm. I'm not going to play with it over the next year. So mm-hmm. there's no reason to keep it around. So,
well, I told you, you do win the Dad of the Year award. I told you that several times.
Well,
several times.
Yeah. You know, every dad should, you know, as far as I'm true. Concerned. So, that's no, right. thank you. But like I said, there's time. You know, once you start figuring out what's going on, once you get in the routine, once you find out all your support systems and you get all organized, I have time. So that's why I'm continuing to run. Because honestly, running for county government was one of those things like, I'm out, don't care. But I'm back in. I'll be all right.
Good. I'm glad you're hanging in there.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to kill this. It's 38 minutes, longer than we thought.
But, definitely.
But hopefully you learned something from it. And like I said, go to Connect Tazewell. Max and I's emails are on there, so you can contact us if you have any questions. If you want to come on and talk to us about it, I think Max and I should do this show every month after the county board meeting. But we'll see if that works out or not.
That'd be great. I'd love it.
All right. So this is Eric Stahl.
And Max Schneider.
We'll talk to you next time.